Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Parikshit, Cursed by a Brahmana Boy, Text 41. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nishamya Shaptam Atad Arham Narendram Sa Brahmano Natmajam Abhyanandat Aho Batangho Mahad Adya Te Kritam Alpiyasi Droha Urur Damo Dritaha Nishamya Saptam Atad Arham Narendram Sabrahmano Natmajam Abhyanandat Aho Patham Ho Mahad Adyate Kritam Alpiyasi Droha Uru Damo Damodrita Nishamya Shaptam Atad Arham Narendram Sabrahmano Natmajam Abhyanandat Aho Batangho Mahad Adyate Kritam Apiyasi Droha Urur Damo Dritaha Nishamya Shaptam Atad Arham Narendram Sabrahmano Natmajam An Abhyanandat Aho Patangho Mahad Adyate Kritam Alpiyasi Droha Urur Namo Dritaha. Please chant.
Thank you.
Ladies. Nishamya, after hearing, Shaptam, cursed, Atat Arham, never to be condemned, Naraindram, unto the king best of humankind, Sa, that, Brahmana, Brahmana Rishi, Na, not, Atmajam, his own son, Abhyanandat, congratulated. Aho, alas, Bata, distressing. Angha, sins, Mahat, great. Adya, today, Te, yourself, Kritam, performed, Alpiyasi, insignificant, Drohe, offense, Uru, very great, Dhamma, punishment, Drita, awarded. The father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best amongst all human beings. The Rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary, began to repent, saying, alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my son. He has awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense. Purport by the founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The king is the best of all human beings. He is the representative of God, and he is never to be condemned for any of his actions. In other words, the king can do no wrong. The king may order hanging of a culprit son of a Brahmin, but he does not become sinful for killing a Brahmana. Even if there is something wrong with the king, he is never to be condemned. A medical practitioner may kill a patient by mistaken treatment, but such a killer is never condemned to death. So what to speak of a good and pious king like Maharaj Parikshit? In the Vedic way of life, the king is trained to become a Rajarshi, or great saint, although he is ruling as king. It is the king only, by whose good government the citizens can live peacefully and without fear. The Rajarshis would manage their kingdom so nicely and piously that their subjects would respect them as if they were the Lord. That is the instruction of the Vedas. The king is called Narendra, or the best among the human beings. How then could a king like Maharaj Parikshit be condemned by an inexperienced, puffed-up son of a Brahmana, even though he had attained the powers of a qualified Brahmana? Since Shamika Rishi was an experienced good Brahmana, he did not approve of the actions of his condemned son. He began to lament for all that his son had done. The king was beyond the jurisdiction of curses as a general rule. And what to speak of a good king like Maharaj Parikshit? The offense of the king was most insignificant, and his being condemned to death was certainly a very great sin for Sringi. Therefore, Rishi Shamika regretted the whole incident. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Manina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Evikebalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata. So we have an expression here in the West: may the punishment fit the crime. Here we see this month of Kartik, a parallel can be drawn. Krishna was an offender. He broke the pot of butter. He stepped in the butter and left footprints all over so that Mother Yashoda could find him. Krishna was on the top of a urukula, giving the butter yogurt to the monkeys. Previous to that, Krishna and Balaram were causing so much disturbance with the neighbors, stealing their butter and yogurt, pinching the babies to make them cry, and sometimes passing stool and urine in the homes of the neighbors. So Krishna had been very naughty. So Mother Yashoda, in order to punish Krishna, showed the stick. And we read, we singing every day, Krishna was trembling. The pearl necklace was moving. He was sighing, breathing heavily, tears streaking down his cheeks. The black kajal was smearing. He was very much afraid of his mother, even though, as God, fear personified, is afraid of Krishna's name. What to speak of Krishna? And yet Yashoda understood the punishment has to fit the crime. Yashoda was thinking, if I use this stick, that's too much, and it will cause a psychological problem later on. I was beaten once by my father at the age of 10, and I can understand this principle. My father beat me very severely at the dinner table. My mother was so freaked out, she took the food plate and smashed it on the floor. I can't take this anymore. I was thinking, my mother loves me. My father was right in punishing me. I was disobedient. But I also feel it was too much. And I did harbor resentment the rest of my life. So this concept is valid. Here we see this young Sringi. What does he lack? He has knowledge. He lacks wisdom. And wisdom is something that you don't just get by reading the book. Wisdom you get through practical experience. You learn. Oh, yes. Life is like that. Yes, you can go to the finest schools. You can be so learned, but life is different. When it actually comes down to implementation, sometimes it can be bewildering. This we see in the Mahabharata. Because there were so many conflicting issues at the same time. So, in many instances, that was confusing. What to do, what not to do. That was Arjuna's position on the battle of Kurukshetra. Contradictory things that he could not adjust. Yes, the Kauravas had been so bad to Arjuna and his brothers. They had committed so many offenses. They deserved to die. But yet, when Arjuna actually saw who he had to kill, he became confused. He became bewildered because it was contrary to his nature. Prabhupada mentions Rajarshi. Arjuna was also a Rajarshi, not just a king, but a saintly person. That is the problem today. We have very powerful rulers all over the planet right now, but they're not saintly. That's the problem. They can show the iron fist, but are they being guided by brahmanas? Or are they like Kamsa? Kamsa was guided by ministers like him. Evil, conniving. So he did not get good advice. Kamsa, after he thought he was killing the eighth child of Devaki, who was a girl, and she revealed herself as Durga Mata, and told Kamsa, the child you're looking for is already born somewhere else. Kamsa had change of heart, contrition. He begged Vasudeva and Devaki, I am very sorry. It was only because I listened to that omen. And Kamsa said, yes, there appears to be mistakes even by these omens, which normally you can trust. Because I believed in the omen, I killed six of your children. You, Vasudeva Devaki, you are so wonderful, so great, you please forgive me. And of course, Vasudeva Devaki had no animosity, even though Kamsa killed six of their sons. But because they're pure devotees, they forgave Kamsa. Unbelievable. When I read this, I go, how to understand that? That they forgave Kamsa. But immediately when Kamsa went back, his ministers got in his ear, no, 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 you did nothing wrong, no, no. Now we have to do a terrorist program. We must kill and kill and... So that is what's happening now. All over the world, you have these big, strong leaders, but they're being guided not by the intelligent class of men, the brahmanas. Yes, that is the problem. They're being influenced and guided by similar rakshasas, man-eaters, demons. That's the problem. Kali Yuga, here it is. This incident, actually, we read in Bhagavatam directly, not just in the purport. directly in the text more than once. The day Krishna left the planet, Kali Yuga began. So here it is. After Krishna, after Parikshit is trying his best to keep the age of Kali from just simply sweeping like a tidal wave, like a tsunami. Kali is trying to overflood, but because of Parikshit, Kali is being checked somehow. But here is what you could call the turning point. The great Mahabhagavat, yes, Parikshit was a Mahabhagavat. Vishnu Ratha, protected and saved by Krishna in the womb. Ashvatthama had sent the Brahmastra to kill the child in Uttara's womb. We read in the beginning of chapter 8, Uttara prayed, "My Lord, let the Brahmastra kill me, but save my child in my womb." Just see the consciousness of exalted personalities in the previous age. Selfless. Yes, I'm willing to die, but save. And Krishna did save. He neutralized the Brahmastra. And the child could see what was going on. And so when Parikshit came out of the womb, he was always looking. Are you the one that saved me? He was examining. Were you the one? Were you the one? Kamsa was always thinking, are you my killer? So Parikshit was examining, because he was saved by Krishna. And this incident, although doesn't seem like it, is also Krishna saving Parikshit. How? But because of this incident, Parikshit will see it as a sign. Ha! Parikshit could have easily nullified. He was that powerful. Same way with Chitraketu. When Parvati cursed Chitraketu, he could have counter-cursed. But in the case of Chitraketu, he accepted. Same way with Parikshit. Parikshit said, all right, I'm going to take this cursing of this Brahmin boy as a sign from God. Let me finish this drama, because it's a play. Whether you're a king or a president, husband, wife, it's a play. We're all playing roles. You may be guru, you may be big boss. You're playing a role. That's it. Reality is, I am simply the eternal servant of Krishna. Sorry, we're not nothing more, nothing less. We're insignificant. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, please, on your neck for constant remembrance. Trinadapi sunichena tororiva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Humility, humility, humility. In my own life, it took me so long to begin, not I ain't, but to begin to appreciate this mantra. Just to begin to appreciate this mantra, that I am simply insignificant. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Ainanda tunujikinkarang patitang mang vishame bhavam buddhau. Somehow or other, I have fallen, and this word, vishame, horrible ocean of material existence. Confirmed by Krishna. Just like you buy some equipment or a car, the manufacturer knows exactly what's wrong. Just like now, it is being revealed. Boeing knew they had problems. I forget what the airline, 740s, whatever. They knew about it. And still, they let it go on, and people died. Now, the reaction is coming. Have to pay now. Mucho bucos. Yes. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukalaya Mashasvatam, the manufacturer of this material existence is saying, excuse me, recall. This cosmic manifestation which I created, let me tell you something about it. It's temporary and full of suffering. Get over it. But the foolish living entity rejects Krishna. No, I like it here. I can have fun. I can play. I can exploit. But Krishna is trying to save us from this folly. No, it is a temporary place of suffering. Even you become Indra. You can play to be Indra for some time. Right? And then after that, back down to earth. Start all over again. Nothing is permanent. The only thing that is permanent? You are the insignificant servant of Krishna. That's permanent. So, I tell myself, I better get used to myself. Because, who am I kidding? Who am I pretending? So, Lord Chaitanya prays, somehow or other I have fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death. My Lord, please place me as one of the insignificant atoms at your lotus feet. Yes. What is my dimension? 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. And I'm thinking, I'm so important. Yes. Amongst all the other 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. But once we play the drama and I think, I'm a man. I am woman. I'm American. I am Hindu. I am this, I'm that, and this, this. False ego. Designation. But the beginning of Krishna consciousness is get out of these designations and begin to render your natural function. Why do we exist? We exist to exchange love between Krishna. That's why we exist. To exchange a relationship. Krishna is willing to exchange rasa. He's Rasaraj, the king of all kinds of mellows and relationships. Krishna is more than, that's why we exist. He wants to expand his pleasure potency. How does Krishna enjoy? Krishna enjoys love. That's God. Yesterday I was speaking at a funeral. And they had a priest from the Gayatri Pariwal. And he was speaking different things of the philosophy they follow. And of course, I've seen this so many times at wedding, at funerals, the Hindu priest will also always talk about moksha, liberation. So of course, I'm always asked to speak when I'm invited. So I told the audience, I said, yes, Pandit Ji has spoken many nice things. And he has introduced us to this term, moksha. And I said, this comes from the Purusha Arthas, the four goals of human life, dharma, religion, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, but then moksha, liberation. But then I said, but What most people don't understand, there is something beyond liberation. That we get from Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is one of the many unique special gifts we get from Lord Chaitanya. Keep in mind, Lord Chaitanya is not just another avatar. Just like I many times say, don't think Prabhupada is just another Indian sadhu. We have seen so many of these. No. Prabhupada is unique individual. Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Not just another Hindu Swami. No. He is most significant. So, Lord Chaitanya teaches there is something beyond moksha. And then we were in a Christian chapel. So as soon as I walked in, they had a big stained glass window that everybody, because they had the body there, and then in the chapel, huge stained glass window with Jesus. So I kept looking at it, and I was remembering what I used to be as a Catholic boy. I remember seeing in the church, we had similar stained glass windows. So then I told the audience, here we are in this Christian chapel. This Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, love God. Not himself. Love God. How? With your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is beyond moksha. Love of God. This is Lord Chaitanya saying is Panchama Purusha Artha. The fifth goal. And for me, there can be no higher concept. No. Bring your philosophy. Bring your dogma. Bring this, that. I want to hear about love of God. Anything higher than love of God? I don't think so. I have not heard it. I have not seen it. This concept of love of God is so important to me. And Lord Chaitanya is teaching us that love of God is already there. It's not something that only a very select group can have. It's not some little private clique. Oh, no, you can't have love of God. No. It's already there in everyone. All it needs to do is be fired up. That's the job of the spiritual master. To light that fire. To reignite it. Sometimes you may have a fireplace. Nowadays they have these gas fireplaces, so you have to start it, then you get the fire. Or now I have in my home for the first time a gas stove. So sometimes you have to start it. Sometimes it goes click, 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 no flame. So sometimes you have to. So that's what the spiritual master does. Prachodayat. Enthuses. Those of us who chant our Gayatri. This word, prachodayat. The spiritual master enthuses you. Lord Chaitanya enthuses you. For what? Rendering devotional service so that you develop your dormant love of God. And with that understanding, we can go anywhere in the world, understanding, yes, this person is pretending to be this, that doesn't matter. That person has love of God somewhere in there. Sometimes it's hard to see, depending on the person. You go, ay, 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 what? But it's got to be there. But that's why the process is unique. Why? Because sound, it is the sound that awakens. Jeev jago, jeev jago, goda chandra bole. It is sound, and that's what we are meant to do. Make the sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. The sound vibration of the holy name, the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, simply by sounding, we can wake up. Simply by that. So we must remember, we are preachers. We are the preachers, my friend. And we'll keep on preaching to the end. We are the preachers. We are the preachers. No time for demons, for we are the preachers of ISKCON. Hari Bol. Please see yourself as a preacher and deliver the fallen conditioned souls. Either by just by saying Hare Krishna, or Prabhupada recommends, give them the book, right, Bhrigupati? Give them the book. This is also sound vibration. Prabhupada said, here in Los Angeles, they read one line, one word, they can be delivered. But do we have that faith? I know you do. I know you do. Otherwise, you would not go out 40 years, day after day, pounding the streets. Your feet, I don't know how you survive. You're still going out. Amazing. Unbelievable. It proves that this process is transcendental. Years ago, when I had to work outside, I had a job in Westwood for a video company. So after a couple of years, sales started going down, down, down. By that time, everybody in the office knew I was a Hare Krishna. So there was one knucklehead. His name was Duncan. He was one of the vice presidents. He was a real demon. He always made my life miserable. So one day he was half joking. He said, yes, maybe you should teach everybody in our sales force how to distribute videos like you guys distribute books. So he knew that we are famous for going out distributing our books. What a knucklehead. Anyway, see yourself as a preacher. Distribute this Krishna consciousness. You'll be benefited. Like Bhakti Siddhanta told Prabhupada, that last letter, you preach in English, it will do good for you and whoever hears you. That is the science behind preaching. It's good for you and it benefits others. Don't be a closet Hare Krishna. Come out and preach. Be bold. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Nobody's going to bite you. Don't worry. Mashucha. Preach and advance. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare. Any discussion amongst the assembled devotees? Yes, Karuna, Dharun.
Thank you for a wonderful, inspiring class. And I have a question that's maybe kind of silly, but I'm wondering what happens to Sringi. Like, does he join a Vaishnav youth forum, or how does he make progress? Or did,
I don't.
Did he sat down and listened to Bhagavatam?
Well, if what he should do, yes, what he should do is repent and atone and hear more from his father and not act rashly and come out of the false prestige that I am Brahmana. No. But his problem is he's young, he's inexperienced. Kids do that. But what he did do, I have no idea. I have not yet, Prabhu. It is answered. There you go. Maharaj?
Thank you. If you read the Mahabharata, you'll find that one of the kings, his kingdom was having a drought, okay? And so they wanted to bring this Sringi to the kingdom and get him married to the king's daughter. So what happened was that he didn't want to come. So they figured out a ruse, or they figured out a plan to get him to come. Now, Sringi had lived in the forest with his father, and he had never seen, it's a very interesting story, he had never seen a woman, okay? And so what happened is they decided that they would get some of the female prostitutes, or what they call society girls, to go to his forest and to try to entrance him or entrap him to come into their boat. So anyway, that's what did happen, and the girls came and they were all decked out and perfumed and all of this kind of thing. He had never seen anything like this. And he was attracted. And obviously his father hadn't given him full instructions on them. Anyway, they were able to bring him to, they had a boat. And he laid down and they massaged his feet and so forth. And meanwhile, the king was praying for rain. And so then when they finally arrived in the kingdom, what happened is that the king expressed his feeling that we need rain, otherwise everybody's going to starve. So he said, would you please just call out the rain? So he called for the rain, and the rain came down heavily. And then he said, I would really appreciate if you would marry my daughter also, because that would assure that the king would always be in good order. So that happened also. Sringi married the daughter, and he was one of the priests, I'm trying to remember whether it's not the Ramayan, but one of the very famous kings, he did a very big sacrifice for. He was known for this. So I just wanted to mention that Sringi went on to become actually quite a famous Brahmin, taking after his father.
Very nice.
But I have a point that I want to make. If someone has a question, they can ask it, and I'll make the point after this. Yeah. Someone want to ask a question? No, okay, it's brief. In the early part of your talk, first of all, I want to thank you very much for giving us so much information, so much pastimes, and so much stimulation of our heart and intelligence in a spiritual way. But I wanted to mention that at the time when Kamsa was about to take little girl, Devaki's, wasn't her daughter, it was actually Yashoda's daughter, but he thought it was his daughter, and he was going to smash her to the ground, and at that point, the baby flew up towards the ceiling, and then said exactly what you said, and then thereafter, what happened was that, as you also mentioned, that Kamsa began to repent, and he was sorry, and he tried to make friends and ask for forgiveness. Now, we have to understand that this is all a ruse. It's by a ruse, I mean it's a pretension.
Oh, so it wasn't sincere.
No, not at all.
Okay.
We can just see that. It was the reason he did that is he was dreadfully afraid of Durga. He was not afraid of all the other demigods, but Durga is known to be one of the most powerful of the demigods, and she could really do him in quite well. So it was incumbent upon him to make friends. And how to make friends, of course, is firstly apologize for what he had done and what he was attempting to do. So therefore, how do we know this? Because, as it's mentioned, even Vasudev, when they were released from the prison, Vasudev said, you cannot trust a person who is still a big sense gratifier. And he is. So it's very possible that he will change his mind. And sure enough, as you mentioned, the next day there was a conference of all the demons, and they urged him to please disregard, forget about Durga. We just kill all the children, and one of them is definitely going to be the eighth child, or the one who is destined to kill you. So that way we can save your life. So he went along with it because of the fact that he was totally ignorant. And as I said before, he was never really heartfelt. Apologetic. There was no such thing. Because if he really was, he would not have followed the instructions of his counsel.
Okay, well, we all good? May Krishna bless you, protect you, and enthuse you. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. Nice.
At least you like it.